Broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And this is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we worship our Lord and Savior. Now, our Father, we ask thee to bless us and lead us and guide us through this next hour. We thank thee for the hours that have passed and gone, how thou hast refreshed our hearts and our minds. Thank you for thy blessed word, the word of truth. Thank you for Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer. Thank thee for the precious blood. And we thank thee, our Father, for this group you've sent this way this morning, and for the radio listening audience out there, and the radio engineer that sends the messages out. We thank you for them, bless them, and our Father, keep us and lead us and guide us. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 406, Depths of Mercy. 406. Everybody sing. Get your hymn book and let's sing this gracious number. Sing out in radio land. Help us to sing it. Come on. Of mercy, how can there be mercy still reserved for me? Yes, I praise him. He never runs out of mercy. He has mercy for all of his people, all those that longing after him. And then also we have call your attention to our Spring Fellowship Day next Sunday. Next Sunday, April the 29th, and Dr. Copeland, A.R. Copeland from Waco, Texas, will be with us to preach for us at the 11 o'clock worship hour, and he will also preach every night, April the 30th through May the 4th. The time of those services will be at 7:45. And next Sunday, don't forget to bring your dinner. I have a little note here that the little country church will be open at 9 a.m. fellowship day. Please bring your dinner there before worship services next Sunday. And bring plenty so we will have enough for everyone. Also, remember to bring your covered dish for the visitor's supper to the parsonage by 5 o'clock Saturday evening. And different ones are in charge of all of these like the committee to call up. I guess you're on the phone calling up different individuals or finding if there's any place that they have for people to lodge when they do come in. And also the committee working on the grounds down at the parsonage. Those will take care of the Saturday evening supper time at 5 o'clock. And we thank the Lord for everyone who is helping. Praise the Lord for the workers. And the fellowship day next Sunday, will after the 11 o'clock services, we will have baptismal service for those who want to follow their Lord in baptism. If you know the Lord, God saved you, and you want to follow him in baptism, we'll have the ordinance of baptism next Sunday after the 11 o'clock services. I'm looking forward to a gracious day, looking to the Lord. For the elements, the day as a whole is looking to him. And whether it be few or many, we just praise the Lord. He'll meet with us. He'll be with us and give us such a gracious day. Brother J.B. Shelton will hold services Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the home of Brother Donald Todd in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Now, next Sunday, I hope to have a statement in regards to the pews, the flooring, and all that we have received pledged for and that you have pledged for. And if you haven't sent yours in, maybe next Sunday, fellowship day, we can have enough in that'll come in towards the purchase of these pews. Now, we have around 12,000, a little bit over 12,000, but I'll have a more definite statement next Sunday for you. And it'll take around $30,000 to equip this tabernacle with the floors and the pews. And I'm glad the money's coming in. It's coming in slowly. But perhaps some of it's been waiting till next Sunday. And we might have much more to say about it next Sunday. So just send yours in, write in, send it in, or bring it in with you. You certainly appreciate it. We can grace this tabernacle. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how long it'll be, but we'll wait God's time to move different individuals' heart where they'll see the need and be willing to give. I wonder if there's anyone in here that hasn't made a pledge. You do want to make a pledge. I'm sure you'll find a card on the table in the back, or Brother Behan can help you. And may God's blessings rest upon us. Now let's sing another song. Glory to his name, 376. Sing it right on out, 376. Thank you. Come on and sing it. Thank you. Glory to his name. There's no other name whereby you must be saved. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gracious name. Precious name. So you come on and be with us next fellowship day. We hope we have a gracious crowd. If not, we'll just praise the Lord for those who can come, who are able to be here. I know we have many that are sick. Some wrote in telling us they're sick and they're afraid they won't be able to come. Others in the hospital, let's pray for them. And other circumstances that keep them from coming. But their prayers are with us. Like one wrote from California, said, my prayer will be with you. My presence will be there in spirit. And I hope we all, she included herself, we all have a gracious fellowship. And she'll be waiting to hear the services, the messages on tape. I'm looking for Dr. Copeland, and let's pray for him. Oh, every time he comes down his way, he always thinks it's the last time. And so we just hope he'll be with us many more times. The Lord has laid a message upon my heart this morning. And you'll find it in the book of Job. Turn with us to Job. In your Bible. Glad to see this number. It's a goodly crowd. Come back and be with us. You want to hear the word of truth. You want to be saved. You want to be confirmed. You want God to deal with your heart. You come on and follow us in the word of God, in the word of truth. And I praise the Lord the way he's moving our hearts and the hearts of the people out in Radio Land. You keep praying for us. Pray for me. I'm like the Apostle Paul. Pray for me that I may have utterance. God will give me utterance to preach his word in power and in boldness. You pray for me and pray for the workers. For the saints, pray one for another. In this 14th chapter of Job, let us begin reading with the first verse. The 14th chapter of Job, you have it? All right. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I just kind of looked at that last night, and I happened to say, I said, look all the trouble the women caused us, huh? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But the man had a whole lot to do with it himself, huh? We're just born into trouble, aren't we? The minute you're born into this world, you're born into trouble. Into a troubled world, and that's what makes us trouble. And troubled by many other things, many other circumstances. Born of a woman man that is born of a woman is a few days. Now you think about that. I've been made to think much this week how short life is, even for those that are young. Even for you, my boy, my girl. How few days you have upon this earth, you and I. David said, I was once young, and just in a split second you might say, but now that I'm old, I'm old. Once we were young, now we're old. Can I do the things like we used to, huh? We certainly can't. Minds are tired, they're slower. They cannot think quickly like they used to. Things we used to do in our younger years, painting and house building and doing all kind of manual labor, we come to find out in time we slow down. Our days are few, they're numbered. All right, that second verse, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? His argument against these three that were accusing him, slandering him. But listen, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And that's every individual by nature. He and she are unclean. Unclean. Unclean, like the leopard. Unclean. Unclean. That's every individual born of a woman, born into this world of troubles. They're born into uncleanness. You ever see yourself unclean in the sight of God, a sinner? Now let's go on. Seeing his days are determined. Now God has determined our days. The number of his months are with thee, and thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. He'll not go beyond his determined time upon this earth. Now, men are doing everything in the world to keep life. Well, that's all right. But God has set a time, a determined time, for everyone to die. Now, they may extend your life a few days by artificial hearts and things like that, but that's not your determined time as yet. Your time is set. And when that time comes, all the artificial hearts and everything else will not do you any good. All the blood they might give you will not do you any good. Because your time has been determined already in heaven. Every one of us, whether you're a young boy, a young girl, your time has been set. You do not know, you that are the 15, 16 years old, whether you reach the age of 20 or not. Only God knows that. But your time is already determined by God himself. All right? Listen, and you cannot pass it. You cannot go beyond that time. Just like the Lord Jesus has set the bounds of the nation. When they go beyond that, they have the curse of God to come upon them. And that's why we're having so much trouble now in America and all the nations. Now listen to the sixth verse. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. And then he gives an illustration here of a man's life in comparison with a tree, with the woodlands. Listen what it tells us. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof waxed old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water It will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Sometime you kill it, you thought you killed a tree, you did everything in the world to get rid of it, and then it won't be long in the springtime and the rains, you'll find that little thing springing up again. It still has life in it. But man's like a tree. He's a little different than a tree, as he goes on to tell us here. Now look, yet through the scent of water will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But look at the 10th verse. But man dieth and wasted away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Now after he gives up the ghost, or he dies, where is he? Where does he go? Where is he? Now these are questions that you and I will have to face, and they can be answered by the Word of God. And we'll try somewhat or another to give that answer this morning. But just to get every one of us to thinking, men, women, boys, and girls, doesn't matter how small you are, whether you're a teenager or you reach the age of responsibility or you're an adult, there's a message here for every one of us this morning. Now you listen. Let's read on. Man died and wasted away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Where does he go? A lot of people say, well, you just go in the grave. A lot of people believe that. You get in the grave, they bury you, and that's the end of it. There's no more. Now, that's the natural thinking of man, natural man, without the Word of God, without knowledge. As the waters, look at 11th verse, as the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and dried up, so man lieth down and riseth not. But not till the heavens be no more, they shall not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Listen to 13th verse. It just blessed my heart when I just got to read and meditating upon this. Job cries out, he says, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, and thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. And that's what God does for every one of his children. He hides them from the storms that are going to come upon this world, from the judgments going to fall. He hides them in the grave. Now let's go on. We'll explain it a little later. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, and thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. The 14th verse. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Now let us look into this study here. I call it more or less a study. You could call it preaching if you want to. Death is a removal forever out of this world. And you find that Job 7, turn over to Job, the 7th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses. As the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, and neither shall his place know him any more. Now, this truth needs not to be proved. We see it all the time, every day, yet it needs to be much considered. And every one of us this morning, we should consider it very much what things we're going to hear this morning. May God give us grace and hearts to receive it and to accept his teachings. Now verses 7 through 9 of chapter 14, it teaches us that a man cut down by death will not revive again as a tree cut down will. That stem or stump left in the ground, though it seem dead and dry, yet it will shoot out young boughs again. You want to call them boughs? Oh, all right. As if it were but newly planted. The moisture of the earth and the rains of heaven have an influence upon it to revive it. Not so with the dead body of a man. The rains of heaven nor the moisture of the earth cannot revive him once he is dead. Life can only be restored to him by omnipotence itself, by the Lord God of heaven. And that's all. Now let us look at some thoughts concerning man and death. Verse 10 reads, "But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" Where is he? No matter how mighty a man might be, he dies. Adam, a man of the earth, because he is earthy, gives up the ghost. Now we find that in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. If you want to turn with us to the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 47th and the 48th verse. You want to hold it? I'll read it. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And then before death, men waste away, don't they? Think about that. Before death, man waste away. Look around us today. Can we not all say that this is so? Listen, you and I are continually wasting away. We are dying daily, every one of us. Just wasting. The life is wasting away. Going down. Do you know that we're born to die? Every one of us are born to die. One day you and I are going to die. But before death comes, we are wasting away. I often think about the heroes of today, the great athletes who are mighty and strong and powerful in their youth, in all of their accomplishments, and how they're able to contain themselves and exercise and full of vigor. But as the years go by, you see how that strength is wasting away. Once all the fame followed them, but now as they grow older, fame seemingly has left them. And they're wasting away. I recalled myself years ago before God saved me. I think much about a man who was a hero in my day, a great athlete. And how, oh my, how he could perform on the field. And I could see nothing but him. And you might say he was my idol as far as athletics was concerned. But as the years peeled by, and after God saved me, begin to deliver me from those things and break the power that this man had an influence over my life. But as I look back over the years and I see now this man, he's grown, he's still living with us. He's gained a whole lot of weight. He's slowed down. And he cannot do like he once did. His name is not recalled now today like it was. And I got to thinking about him yesterday. When I got to studying this passage of Scripture, how he is wasting away. He's wasting away. And after a while, he'll be gone. Then I got to thinking about my own self in my youth. Just a few years ago, how I could get a hold of my house and paint and work and labor and felt like doing it, and just a few years ago. But now for me to make any effort at all to go and do those things, I'll come down with a sprained back or a sore arm. Just the other day, helping my son to put up a door, putting a little effort in screwing up that door, just all I can. And then a couple of days after, I felt my back. I'm just not like I used to be. But I could take all that one time. You and I are wasting away. Things you used to do some time ago, you cannot do no more now. You're wasting away. Now, children, you're full of vigor, running, training. But one day, if the Lord allows you to live longer, you get 35 and 40 years old, you'll look back on those things and say, you know, I cannot do like I used to do. That's every one of us is wasting away. And that's true. Now, you get that truth. And you look around us today and see how many of us have grown older. Gray hair, some with no hair at all, some with little hair, just wasting away. We're going back to the dust, going back. Now listen, the flesh, the strength, the beauty are wasting away through sickness and old age. Look back on some of your pictures you got from the time you were a youth. Such a beautiful girl, a beautiful face, mellow and fresh. But take another picture today and compare it and see how you've wasted through the years. And you men, see how we had a good head of hair, wavy. But now look today and see how little hair we have and how it's turning gray. We're wasting away. Young boys and young girls, you can look ahead in the years to come and see what perhaps you will look like. Look at us and see how we've wasted away through the years. And then if you think along that time, along these terms here, you'll realize that you're not going to live forever. But there's coming a time when you're going to have to face the grave. In debt, he gives up the ghost, wasting away through sickness and old age. And then in death, he gives up the ghost. The soul leaves the body and returns to God who gave it, the Father of spirits. And then Job asks the question, where is he? In verse 10, after he leaves his life, where is he? He is somewhere. He is somewhere. He's in some place. You don't just disintegrate in the grave and there's nothing more. That's not your final resting place. He is somewhere. Mind you, that soul is still alive somewhere. And we should give much consideration to think where those are that have given up the ghost and where we shall be when we give it up. Now, I want you to think. God wants us to think this morning. He had a special reason to lay this upon my heart. And I just agonize in getting this message. Satan fighting me all the while. But God's given it to us. And I want you to hear it. I want you to get the thinking. Now, many of us don't want to think, but you listen. May God the Holy Spirit open your eyes, my friend, and make you face the realities of eternity. When you leave this world, there is no coming back. Now you get it. When you leave this world, there is no coming back. You will be gone to the world of spirits, gone into eternity. Now verse 11 and 12 teaches that a man laid down in the grave will not rise up again. That is to such a state as we are now in. We go to bed at night. And in the morning we wake and rise again and go about our daily task as we always did. But at death, we must lie down in the grave, never to awake until the heavens, or shall we say, time shall be no more. When the heavens are no more, then they shall awake and be raised out of their sleep. I want us to turn to Job, the 19th chapter. The 19th chapter, and I want us to read that 25th verse. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. From this passage, Job would not have us to believe that the heavens ever would be no more, or would pass away. Now, the heavens are the most permanent and enduring objects of which we have any knowledge, and is used to denote permanency and eternity, as you'll find in Psalms 89:36-37. If you want me to read it to you, just hold your place and I'll read it. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Now, if man could come back again, life would be somewhat different, wouldn't it? Like the rich man who died and went to hell. I wonder how many of us read that story. What would he give in exchange from his place in hell to another opportunity to live once again upon this earth? If he could revisit the earth to repair the evils of a wicked life, to repent of his sins, to make amends for his faults, to have just one more chance to hear the prophets, and to make preparations for a future world, his life would be just a little different. And what a difference it would be then to die. You and I are not coming back. It's what you and I do now that's going to count. Now you think about it. My dear boy, my dear girl, my dear friends, listen to me. As you travel over the road of life, you tread a path which is not to be traveled again. I want you to think with me. And I'm thinking about many of you. You're traveling a path now. You'll never be able to travel again. When you neglect the opportunity to hear the word of God that your soul might live, it cannot be recalled. When you give yourself over to sin and to the lust of this world, you cannot come back to repair the evil that you have done. I had a young girl that called me the other day and tell me the trouble she's gotten in, pouring her heart out to me. And I told her, I said, my young girl, I said, you had better stop right now and consider and think and make up your mind. You're going to live a decent life. And from now on, you're going to live a good, clean, moral life. If you ever intend to be someone, somebody, or to give yourself to someone, I said, an individual, the young men today are not looking for such girls. They're looking for a good girl, a good clean girl. and you keep your chastity and change your way of living in life. She said, but I do want to get married. I do want to have children. I said, well, you make up your mind. You stop your running around. You stop wanting to have your own way and do things like you please. And thinking of today, I said, you had better think about tomorrow and think about years from now. And that's true. And that's the warning for all of our young boys and girls. You think today. Think of it today. Listen. Would to God that you would turn to Christ and trust Him to save you. One day you will fall and die and live no more on this earth. And if you die without Christ, you die without hope to suffer in misery and pain forever and ever. If you die in Christ, you die in hope. Under the sheltering blood, and He, the Lord Jesus, will keep you safely until all the storms of the wrath of God are past. There's judgment coming. There's the storms coming. Well, how would you like to have a sheltering place in the Lord Jesus Christ? A covert. But until then, Job petitions for a hiding place in the grave. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Now listen, the grave is not only a resting place, but it is a hiding place to the people of God until the resurrection. God holds the key to life and death. Now remember that. He hides His people from the storms and the troubles of this life for the bliss and the glory of a better life. Death has no sting, the grave no victory over the believer. Death cannot keep him, and the grave cannot hold him. It can only hide him under the Lord Jesus' protection. The Lord Jesus Christ has the key of the grave to let us in and to let us out at the resurrection. And Job said, there let me lie until thy wrath be past and thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Remember as God remembered Noah in the ark. God hid Noah from the destruction of the old world, but preserved him for the reconstruction of the new world. And that's the way He's going to protect and preserve His people. Protect us from the wrath that will come upon this old world that we're living in. And then keep us in preparing us for the reconstruction of the new world. It's not going to be a reconstruction, but it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I praise God for it. The bodies of the saints shall not be forgotten in the grave. There is a time appointed, a time set. They will be remembered. If a man die, shall he live again? That's the question Job asked. All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. Now, we do not know when that's going to happen. As you'll find in verse 14 there, I'll wait till my time, my change come. Now, I want us to turn to John, the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. I'd like to read you to read with us the 5th chapter of John and the 28th and 29th verse. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And then turn to the 6th chapter of John, 6, 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then if you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter again, of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, you'll find some more recorded there, the 52nd and 53rd verses. Listen to it. In the 51st verse, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now if a man die, shall he live again? And that's the answer we've given you. And he goes on to tell us in that 14th chapter of Job, all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. Job was satisfied to wait until his change come. Now he had reference to his, because in the midst of his warfare, in his trials, his sufferings, I know how the desires of the believers, oh, if I could only be delivered from all of this. I would that my Lord would take me home now, that I wouldn't have to suffer so much. But Job caught himself. All the days of my appointed time, whether it be lengthy or short, I will wait until my change come. He had reference to his warfare, his trials, and his uncertain comforts that he was going through. But listen, 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 believer. Listen, sinner, listen to me. One day, there is going to be a great change. Now you listen to me. Believers should wait patiently in trial till his change comes, knowing that those sorrows and sufferings will be for just a little while. My dear saint, a change will come. And that's going to be soon. That change is coming, and it's coming soon. It's going to be the last change, praise God. And a change for the better. We must patiently endure. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. You'll find in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 36 and 37 verses. We must wait all the days of our appointed time. I am waiting for my change. Are you? Are you? We must expect and believe it will come and look for it. It's going to come. We must desire that it would come as those that long for Christ, as we long for him to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. So we long for his coming and we expect it. God's time is the best. Therefore, let us be willing to tarry until it does come. We must give diligence and get ready for when the change comes. We get ready now. See, get ready now. Make preparations now, believer. Make preparations now, sinner. That change is coming, and it's coming soon. It's right upon us. Then verse 15 tells us, thou shalt call. And I will answer thee. I know we had a little chorus some years ago, we used to sing it. When he calls, I'll answer. When he calls, I'll answer. When he calls, Job says, he said, I'll answer. Have you heard the call to come to Christ? Did you receive the effectual call of God to come to Christ? Come to him. You know, one day he's going to give us that call. Come up. Come up. The change has come. Listen. Listen, my dear believer. Job tells us, tells us in the affirmative, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Brother, there's no maybe so there, is there? There's no doubt in the heart of Job there to his belief in Christ, of the resurrection, of the call of God. It will be the call of love, yearning after its object. The church is the object of God's love. It'll be a call of love. It will be the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ returning to take his children home to himself. The shout will be, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. At the resurrection, thou shalt call me out of the grave by the voice of the archangel, and I will answer thee and come at thy call. And I can imagine old Job expressing such words as, call thou now, my Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know it. Call thou now, my Redeemer, and I will respond. For to depart and to be with Christ is far better. And as old Brother Thornburg told me one day, he said, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's so. Yes, the old body will go back to the grave and there remain. But one day, the Lord God is going to call that body from the grave and be taken up there with him. And he goes on to tell us here, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. As if he's calling today. Calling today. Come home, my child. Come home, my dear child. And what would be your response? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Call me today, my Lord, and I'll respond. I'm ready to go to be with you. And then as Matthew 25:10 tells us, those that were ready went in, and the door was shut. Praise God. He's going to shut every one of his people in, never to return back to sufferings, to shame, to heartaches, to death again. My dear friends, this morning, I brought you to God's message from my heart. You might get thinking upon your way that you're wasting away and that you're taking a journey now that you'll never travel again, is what you do now, is what you hear now, is whom you believe now, is whom you trust now, that's going to make the difference at the end, in the resurrection. And may you turn unto the Lord. I plead with you, turn to him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you now. There's no doubt in my heart and mind that he'll not save you if you call. Now, he'll call you. He's calling you now. You answer him. He's calling you now to come. All things are ready. Come. All things prepared of my Father for you and for your happiness and for your joy and for your tranquility. Come. Come now. Though your sins be as scarlet, though you be the worst of sinners, come, they shall be whiter than snow. And though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's word tells us that. And as God's servant, I'm asking you to come on the basis of the eternal word of God and the immutability of God's word that cannot be broken, and rest your hopes and your soul upon him. When he calls, I will answer, because our hearts are in tune with heaven. We heard the call to come to Christ one day. We followed that call through the pilgrimage journey. And the one day that call is going to come, come and be with me. Come, my dear child. It's going to be an affectionate call. But how dreadful will be the words of our Lord against those that reject the truth. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Those that reject him in time, he will reject them in eternity at the great white throne judgment. Oh, how my heart just bleeds for my children, for your children, for the mothers and dads here and out in Radio Land, for the wives, for the innumerable company that listens, and you don't know the Lord, you don't know Christ, you're taken up with things in this life, you're taken up with this world, you're taken up with all kinds of things, and your heart is not right with God. Would today that you'll make it right. May God the Holy Spirit lead you and bring you to Christ and grant you faith to lay hold of him. And you'll never let him go. He'll never let you go. May God lead us. Hear us again next Sunday. The Voice of Truth, 7 till 8. Bible School in the Air, 10 to 11. The regular worship hour, 11 to 12. Dr. Copeland will be with us. And Fellowship Day, come and be with us. God bless you. Goodbye. I brought God's message. I've exhorted you to turn to the Lord, realizing, knowing the terror of God, I persuade all men, turn to him, will you? Call upon him this hour. He'll hear you. I'm glad you come. Pray for us during the week. Come back tonight. Come back Wednesday night. Be with us next fellowship day. Bring your dinners. Bring a little bit more. Bring your offerings, your tithes, your pledges, and we deeply appreciate it. And may God bless you. You've listened, and now let's stand. Our Father, dismiss us this morning with thy benediction. Our hearts long after thee for this people. Lord Jesus, thank thee for everyone whom you have saved, that are present here this morning and out in Radio Land. And our Father, we pray especially for these who have no knowledge of salvation. You work a work of grace in their hearts. Turn them, our Lord, and they shall be turned. For Christ's sake, we pray and ask it in his name. Amen.